Welcome to the Mother Days podcast. I'm Teresa Palmer.
And I'm Sarah Wright Olson. Hi, Daisy.
Solo episode.
We're coming off such a high because we just had our amazing Daisy Dream Circle. And you guys, okay, so everybody that was there, wow, it was so amazing. You guys are such beautiful humans, and everybody that shared and
it
was so awesome. And for anybody that missed out because of timing, like, don't worry, we're going to have more. We're going to do it at different times because we know that, like, it was the middle of the night for some of you, and then we may have gotten some of the dates mixed up because of time zones and whatever. So don't worry, we're having more. But for those of you that were there, it was such a special experience. And I think, like, Teresa did such a beautiful job at leading us in the manifestation. We had amazing meditations. Like, it was just
your meditation made me cry. Sarah opened with a meditation. And it was so beautiful and heartfelt. And she just wrote it herself. And it was just amazing. It was all about the red string and how we were all connected. And that's how it felt, right? Didn't it? Even though it was through Zoom, I kept scrolling and looking at everyone's faces. And I felt connected to every single person there and feeling their energy. And it was just this incredible, like, co-creation. We're calling in our best lives.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I felt so high vibe, and I was actually quite nervous at the start. I don't know if you were too. Like,
yeah, I was. Just
I had these big expectations, I think, that I had put on myself, and I knew that the portal was so open because it was the oh my god, what's the word?
Eclipse.
Eclipse, that's the word. There was the eclipse.
So I was like, eclipse.
This is potent energy, and we need to do everyone justice. They're all here. And so I was a little nervous at first. I think the first 10 minutes, I was like a little bit wobbly. And I had written out this kind of run sheet earlier in the day and sent it to Sarah and I was like, I'm looking down too much. I need to look up a bit more. And then I was like, I missed my spot. And I, like, missed a whole chunk that I had written that I felt was really important. And then poor Sarah would have got lost. And I think she did, because then she was like, I miss something? And I was like, no, I was the one that missed something. You were on track.
I did get lost.
Oh my gosh. But then just organically came out of us. And
it did.
So
it was so nice. I think the moment that you and I both kind of, like, released and just, like, allowed, you know, it to be just coming from our hearts, like, that's the moment that it really felt like, okay, we fell into it. Because honestly, you guys, we were nervous because we wanted it to be really special for everybody that was there. And we wanted to, like, you know, have this be accessible and you to be able to, like, you know, do it with ease and for it to not be confusing, and just, like, we wanted to make it as easy as possible. And and it was so great. So anyway, thank you everybody that joined us, and we will definitely have more.
We love seeing all the boards. We saw people DM'd us that their boards, which is amazing.
So awesome. So amazing. They're beautiful. And somewhat more detailed than the one that I made, which I need to add more to.
I need to add more to mine too.
I know. And then today that this episode is released, today is actually the first day of our first ever in real life event, our live from San Francisco. Yes. And we are doing that tonight with Rachel and Olivia from the Broad Ideas podcast. And then again, tomorrow on Friday, the 26th in San Francisco at the One Hotel. And we're just so excited for anybody who's bought a ticket and you're headed over to see us. We're so pumped and can't wait.
Can't wait. Thank you, Frida Salvador, as well for hosting us and just helping put this all together. It's amazing to be in partnership with such a like-minded company. But we love it. This fills us up, guys. We have dreams of traveling the world, connecting, getting together. And so I feel like the seed's been planted now. And we just feel completely lit up and joy-filled. So let's talk about what's been going on. Sarah, what's been up with y'all?
What's been up with me? Everything's been really good. I talked about this on another podcast, but I had yesterday a day where I felt a little crazy and out of sorts and anxious and all the things. I feel like now that we've sort of gotten past the eclipse and we're in this place of like retrograde, like it feels like life is sort of tumbling forward really fast. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like I'm like trying to keep up. And so things can feel overwhelming, but I feel like this is all sort of come to a place where I very much realize like I need to take more time for myself. Like I need to not be throwing myself so deeply into work constantly. I need to like, between like school pickups and like field trips and all that stuff that I just love so much, it's also like nonstop with work stuff. So I think sometimes it's hard to remember like, oh wait, I need to go like retreat and take a bath and like just be to myself and like have some meditation time and all of that, you know? Mm. And the TTC journey, I'm feeling really good. Last month I had a chemical pregnancy and that was, my experience was that I got a couple positive pregnancy tests, but they were very, very, very light. And it was like, I took a test and then like the next morning the test was negative. And then like that evening the test was like barely visible. And then the next morning it was negative. And I was like, this is so weird. I've never seen this before.
I feel like it got darker on the third day or something. So it was confusing us both.
It was confusing. But I had this moment when I went out to Eric and I showed him and I was like, but I think it should be darker. And it's like really faint. And, you know, I feel like at this point it should be darker. And like, but, you know, I'm really excited. And he was just like, whatever it is, like if it's now and if it's not now, like this baby is going to come when this baby is meant to come. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And, you know, I kind of went to that place of like, I'm excited, but I'm confused. And then I said to him, like, I'm just like, was worried that my body wasn't working. And now I think it is working. And he's like, oh my God, your body is working. Like you had three babies, three healthy, beautiful babies. Like everything, when this baby is meant to come, this baby will come. And when it's the right timing, the baby will be here. And it's all good. And I was like, yes, you're right. Absolutely. And so then I was just like, you know, excited, but also confused about what was happening. And so then I went to get blood work done and all my numbers were really low. And so then
they said pregnant. It said she was pregnant, but it was on the low end.
Low end. Yeah. And so then like 48 hours later, I had to do blood work again. And that blood work came back and it was supposed to double. Everything should, like my HCG levels needed to double what they were and they didn't. They went down. And so it was like, oh, okay. So what happened was, you know, it like all sort of came together and was trying to implant or maybe did implant, but whatever it was, it like what didn't happen. And, you know, and then then my period came exactly on day 28 of my cycle. And as you guys have been following along with this journey, you know that like since my pregnancy loss, my cycles have been shorter, much shorter, like 24 to 26 days. And so I actually, as soon as I started having like bleeding on the 28th day of my cycle, I immediately felt so relieved and excited because I was like, maybe this is a reset. Like maybe this mm-hmm. is like pulling my cycle out to 28 days and I'll be able to like, you know, reset everything because it has felt really off. My luteal phase has been much shorter and, you know, I'm paying attention to that stuff because I, you know, kind of want to, and I get a little nerdy about it and I like it, but
we nerd out together. But this, her and I have each other.
We nerd out nerd together out
about this stuff. We will go back
we
and
really
forth.
Do.
Like sharing studies and like, yeah. I would be like, look at this line progression and look at, you know, we yes. are nerds for this stuff, her and I.
And I love it. I think it's so fascinating. It doesn't stress me out. It doesn't make me overthink anything. It's just, to me, it's so exciting. It's like a puzzle and like the body is wild and it's such a miracle when this all happens. And so, this was just like one of those moments where it's like, ooh, maybe this means my, you know, cycle is going to be the length that was normal for me before having the pregnancy loss. So like, maybe that's actually going to help. And, so it was great. And yes, I had one day where I was just like, oh, you know, I had that feeling of like, wow, that was an almost, but also to me, that was kind of a positive thing too. Like I saw that in a positive way. Now if that had sort of gone on for a couple of weeks, like that would, maybe I would have felt differently, but it was so fast and like I got to sort of reset very quickly. And so anyway, I felt really good and positive about that.
You handled it so beautifully. I went on the roller coaster with you because I'm like, I was analyzing every line. And then I thought yes. that the test in the with first morning urine, I was like, oh, it's just a faulty test. That one's a faulty one. Because yeah. then later in the day, yeah. you would get the positives later in the day. And so then, of course, I went yeah. into my full detective mode, like in the forums finding, I was like, no, I think this is going to be okay because of this and that. And then, oh my goodness, it was, I just went on the roller coaster as well. And I probably felt sadder about it than you did. I was like, oh, but Sarah handled it so beautifully. You were just like, well, this wasn't meant to be the month, but look how close I got. Do you see how close I got?
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful, positive way of looking at it. And also, I think your acupuncturist was so positive about it too.
He was. He was
amazing.
Like, this is great. This is, means we're, he actually said to me, he goes, this means we're so close. You know, like when I had the pregnancy loss, like he was obviously just like so loving and comforting about it all. And in this moment, I was kind of very positive going in and I was like, I wonder how he's going to be, if he's going to look at me and be like, are you okay? Like, you know, how are you feeling? And he was just like, yes, we got so close, you know, and like, aww. That means we're in the right direction. We're almost there. I'm going to up this and do that. And, you know, he's giving me like, this, he calls it like
a blood
tonic. Yeah. And it's like a, it has molasses in it. It has like a blood builder, like a bunch of herbs, like blood builders in there, but it does have molasses. So it has this really thick texture. And I was like, why do they call it blood tonic? It just sounds crazy to me. But I'm taking that because it like helps up your iron. And, it was an interesting experience, but also I didn't have time to slip into the like, expectation world. It was more mm-hmm. like, wait, this is confusing. What's happening? I felt like a scientist that whole week, you know?
Yes.
And I had like the days I was waiting on the blood tests were the days when I was like, oh, this is like, this part is hard for me. Like the waiting is hard. Like I don't love that. It's really uncomfortable. I don't love being in the waiting space of like, I'm waiting on numbers, like I'm waiting to hear. That was the hardest part. And it wasn't like, you know, I don't think it was connected to like sadness or anything. It was just like a weird feeling of like, oh, I don't like this. Like someone else has my results in their hand and I'm waiting for them to like send it to me, right? And then once the results are there, I'm like, okay, now I can move on because I'm not in the waiting space anymore. Now I know it's going to happen. And then as soon as I found out, you know, I had that like sigh of relief. Okay, I know, you know, the midwife that I talked to, she said your period will probably come in a couple of days. And I was like, okay, that's great, because that would be like exactly on cycle day 28. And then after I sort of like released that, figured out those logistics, then I did have this moment where we were like driving to see my friend and I was with Eric and he like reached over and he grabbed my hand and the kids are all in the back seat. And I was fighting back tears of just like, I think release of just like, okay, that was a really confusing place to be in over the last 5 days. And I just like kind of had that drive to kind of let it all go and, you know, hold his hand. And I kept like looking at him and smiling and like looking back at the kids and just like sitting in this place of gratitude and just like hearing those words again of just like, you know, it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. Just like what Eric said, and he's so right. And then, you know, the midwife was right on, like 2 days later.
Spot on.
Like 2 days later, it started. And as soon as I went to the bathroom and that happened, I was like, yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So anyway, so that's kind of where I am with that.
Yes. Guys, if you've been following me on the gram for a while, you will know that I have a love-hate relationship with my hair. It is wild, thick, it's very curly at the back and very straight at the front. Don't understand it, but that's okay. One of my friends recently recommended this brand to me. It's called Vegamore, and I am telling you, I am finally achieving the hair of my dreams. Real change is happening. I'm being consistent with my routine, and it's never been easier. I'm finally seeing the results that I have always wanted.
Yeah, and after I had kids, I felt like my hair changed texture-wise so much. And since using Vegamore's The Grow Hair Serum, it has been so different. My hair is thicker. It's stronger.
Yes.
I mean,
Sarah, the last time I saw you, I'm like, oh my God, does she have hair pieces in? Your hair looked way thicker.
Yeah, exactly. That's because I've been doing so good at my routine. I've been doing it every single day for the past couple of weeks, and it has changed my hair. And fun fact, Vegamore actually sells one bottle of Grow Hair Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is.
Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/motherdays and use code motherdays at checkout. That's Vegamore, spelled vegamore.com/motherdays, code motherdays, to save 20% off your first order. vegamore.com/motherdays, code motherdays.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting get easier, like you're not waking up, you know, multiple times a night to change diapers, and you can actually reason with them once they can talk. Others don't, like having that conversation about money. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. That's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids, keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. This is something that my kids were so excited about. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family's needs and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. And in our family, we have a thing where we give, save, and spend. And so one of my kids unloads the dishwasher and one of them vacuums and the other one cleans up the toys. And it's so awesome. It makes us feel like we're all a part of this community working together to keep our household organized and to teach kids to connect hard work with financial independence. Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/motherdays.
Oh, thanks for sharing. I think that's so common. Chemical pregnancies are so common. I feel like almost every single one of my friends has experienced one. And also maybe your experience, if you're listening, maybe your experience was different and you really did feel very connected to the pregnancy. And it was a few days of like dreaming up who the baby is. And it really felt like, you know, a significant loss to you. Everyone has their own different experience with loss in general. And so thank you for keeping everyone updated and sharing so beautifully, as you always do. We're all on this journey with you. We're all on it with you. I feel like every week.
100%. I kind of feel like I have to tap in and let you know where I'm at because we are kind of going down this road together. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I just know it's all going to work out. It's all going to happen eventually. And yeah, it just feels good. What about you? What's been going on with you?
That's a good segue. I am in Lake Arrowhead right now, which is an hour and 40 minutes away from Los Angeles. We've been saying sort of today and yesterday and whatever. By the time this comes out, this was last week. But we've had like a interesting situation. The like stars aligned earlier this year and there was a particular time that I was going back to Australia to do this job. And so then we locked in a rental for the time that I was going to be in Australia. But then the job pushed. So then we were going to be in LA. But then my baby mama, Frankie, her and her husband had this project that was going exactly right when we were going to be moving out of our house because of the renter. And once you've confirmed the rental, you can't change it. So I couldn't ring up and be like, actually my movie's pushed and, you know, now I need the house back. They pay a deposit and that's their house for that period of time. And it's a 2-month booking through One Fine Stay, which is our favorite property managers, because it's just a really good source of income and it works perfectly because we move out of the house because we're in a different country. This did not align the way it was supposed to because of these various things that pushed my movie, and then Frankie and Zach's movie didn't end up happening at the time it was meant to happen. And we were supposed to go and move into their house and house sit and take care of their two dogs and to be at the house with Isaac. So that was all going to work out. None of it worked out. And including my au pair, we were like, right, we need to get an au pair. Let's do it. This will be the person who will travel down to Australia with us. So the au pair even fell through. So it's like the accommodation's fallen through, the au pair's fallen through. We've always said that we really don't want to spend money to rent an Airbnb when we're renting our house out. That always just feels like so dumb to us. But we always had Frankie's house to go to and we can definitely go there. But I was like, it's a 2-bedroom house and it's a big, she's got a big, beautiful home. But we all sleep in the one room downstairs and it's really fun. It's like a slumber party. But also I am so hyper-conscious of like we're a lot. Like, it's four kids, it's two adults. I was like, I just, while these guys like Frankie and her husband Zach are in work mode, the idea that my kids are running around like all through the house, I was like, you know what, let's just find a place to rent and do these little adventures, because I've been craving this kind of travel adventure, kids back in nature. And it kind of reached ahead. We moved out of our house. We got an Airbnb for 3 nights, like in Glendale, which is like the middle of the city, like concrete everywhere, no green anything. So I was like, I am craving nature. And if we have to pull the kids out of school and just go somewhere, I want that. I also am a massive fan of A-frame houses. So on Airbnb, there's like a little section where you can click like dome houses, yurt houses, whatever it is. And I clicked A-frame, and these A-frame cabins popped up, and so many of them are here in Lake Arrowhead. I've never been to Lake Arrowhead before. It's an hour 40 from the city. I know that Mark still has to work. And I was like, should we just have this adventure? Like, should we just do it for 2 nights? We'll just go have an adventure. It's snowing up there. Like, it's just so beautiful. We'll all be sleeping in the same area. And Mark and I are just those people who are like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just go have a life adventure. So we're like, forget school, forget whatever. We're just doing it. So we got in the car, packed our car up, dumped a bunch of our suitcases for Australia in storage, got in the car, did not even know what it would be like up here. We drove, it was so foggy. Mark could not see like a foot in front of the car. So he's driving like a total grandpa, worried about like rocks falling down on top of the car. And then we got here, and it is the most charming cabin ever. It's 3 stories. Downstairs is like the kids area. It's all these like beautiful fireplaces and wood everywhere, and these little bedrooms, and then open plan. And we were just looking out the window at these incredible trees. Like, we're up in the treetops, and the snowflakes are coming down, and the kids are outside sticking their tongues out, like catching snowflakes on their tongues. We're doing device free for the kids. I tried to say that for the adults too, but I do have to work, like what I'm doing right now. So then I've just only been going on my devices at nighttime when the kids are asleep. But we're like device free. No one is going on video games. No one's doing anything. We're just going to be out in nature, hiking. Yesterday, Mark had to go into the city to work, and so I got the kids all rugged out in like snow gear because it's really cold. It's like 36 degrees here, which Celsius is basically like 2 degrees Celsius. We got everyone rugged up and then walked down the hill to this beautiful creek, and we just spent an hour there in the creek. Prairie was so insane. Like, Sarah was trying to text me about this work thing, and I was trying to text her back. And I was like, Sarah, if you could see me right now, you would be laughing your head off. Like, she's like launching herself off the like 6-foot cliffs into the creek. And I'm like, she's dangling, hanging by my hand. Like, just everyone's like, Prairie, what are you doing? Like, she's just trying to leap into the creek.
She's like, this is my homeland.
And then she just, everyone's trying to leap over the creek and like go on stepping stones. She just steps completely in the water, like all the way up to her waist, like freezing cold water.
She's just
one of those gung-ho kids. And everyone was like, wait, this isn't fun, because Prairie's trying to kill herself. So what are we going to do? I was like, we cannot be at the creek without another adult. Like, I cannot handle, like, Poet's much more tentative with adventure. Forrest and Bodhi are gung-ho. Prairie is the most gung-ho. And then Poet's more tentative. So she's like wanting to hold on to me and hold my hand as she's going down the hill. But then Prairie, I'm like, I can't have one clinging on to me because she's afraid, and then one like trying to jump off the cliff. I was like, this isn't going to work for me. I need my husband to come back. And so today we're going to go on a hike. But I have to tell you, Mark said to me last night, he was like, I just love seeing my like happy, contented wife who's just like, I am so affectionate with him. And as you know, that's his love language. All he craves is affection. I'm just like loving on him. He's just looking particularly hot. I'm like, I fucking love this life. We're just up in the trees and it's just us and the kids and board games. And I could not be happier here. And Mark is feeling it because he's like, oh my God, I have not had this much attention from my wife in forever. Like, this is amazing. But it just speaks to my soul. And I think Sarah and I, we talked about this during the Daisy Dream Circle, is I have this like, it's this insatiable craving to be with my family, to be in nature, to travel, experience different things. I really want to pull them out of the traditional school system for just a bit to travel. And like, I'm so inspired by the bucket list family. I'm so inspired by one of the guests that we had on the podcast, Emma. She's New Earth Mama. Her family are in Peru right now. She's world schooling her kids. They're having this amazing, enriching life experience. I'm like, oh, my heart just craves it. And I think we've been in the city for a while here in LA, and I love the house. I love my friends. I love the experiences here, but I've just got this itch. I've got this itch to like get out and experience new things with the family. And I think maybe because they're growing older, they're just getting older and bigger. And I'm like, oh, I've got to contain these experiences and like ensure that they're like learning about the world in the right ways. And, Sarah and I talk about this all the time.
Well, if we don't do it now, this is what I was thinking the other day when we were talking about it. If we don't do it now, there won't really be, there's not another time to do this. Like, they're little enough where we can go all together and have this experience while they're young. When they're older, it's going to be harder because they really will have to at some point be in school and be, you know, in like, I mean, maybe not more traditional school, but like, you know, at some point they're going to want to like have a job, or they'll have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. Like, at some point it's just going to be harder until they're adults. And then we can be like, let's all go on a family vacation. But that time to like take them to other countries and like teach them in this way, or like Eric and I always talk about like, oh, we want to like rent a house in, you know, Europe somewhere for a month, or like some other country for a month and experience the culture and like really like get grounded there and dig in. And like, I so feel that. And we've had friends who have taken like, oh, their kids' fifth grade year, and they take them and go like travel the world or live in another country. And I'm like,
yes,
yeah, but unless you like take the leap and do it,
you just keep talking about it.
I know there's always going to be like life stuff. And so many people can work from home or have seen how that works. So you can make it happen as long as you figure out a way, like with work, right? That you can like make that.
And I think we're blessed. Well, some of our work is online. Some of the work that I do, I definitely have to be in person, and so do you. But I was like, oh, what about between acting gigs? Like, can we go and have these experiences? I'm really like feeling the pull to go to places like Costa Rica and Peru and Malaysia. I want to like go to Asia with the kids, and just so that they can see how the world is and how like other kids are raised in different cultures. And one of my favorite experiences I ever had was I went to Limuru, Kenya, and I built a fence at this school with these kids, and I fell in love with these beautiful, happy children and had this like remarkable life-changing experience. That has had such an imprint on who I am. And I said to Sarah, can you imagine us taking the kids to a community like that and them like going to school and being in the local community and having like just seeing what life is like in a place like that, and the gift that that would give the children, I talked to Bodhi about it and he was like, I want to do that. I just want to do that, Mom. When can we do it? And I was like, I have been talking about this for years. Like, why,
right.
why don't we make it work? Like, I would have to, there's a lot of organizing. And, you know, when talking to Emma from New Earth Mama, she was saying that she books the flights a year in advance. So she knows wow. where she's going. And then in between, they'll book the accommodations and they'll sort of figure out exactly where they're going. But they know at what point they've got to get to what city to catch the plane that she's booked.
Wow.
And I was like, what a dream. And is it achievable? But when I think about it and I listen to the podcast and the interviews with, you know, the Bucket List family, I get full body chills, which makes me think like, all right, this pull is real and it's just about figuring out the logistics and when we can make it work and if the Olsons can come with us.
Yeah, no, we're coming. We're coming.
And then we buy our land and get the commune.
Yeah, exactly. I do. I think there's that. I think everybody kind of has that, like, you know, how do I live near my friends? And like, how can we all be together and like contribute to the community together? And like, you know, there's that aspect. But then there's also that aspect of just like wanting to experience other cultures and see your kids experience it. Like when you go on a trip with your kids and it's not like, you know, there's some trips that are so fun to do that are very touristy, but when it's not touristy and you're sort of like immersing yourselves in a community, you know, in a way, and you're sort of like doing stuff that you wouldn't typically do, which is just like slow living stuff, right? Just like, let's go to the market, let's walk to the market and let's buy some cheese and bread and go sit in the park and like things that just feel a little slower paced than what we normally do when we go on vacation, which is just like rushing around and like, we got to get to this, we got to do that. And like, you know, we have to see this because it's like such a small amount of time, but that experience to go somewhere longer, like it's, you know, that's the dream, right? And a lot of people don't get to do that until they don't figure it out until they're, you know, retired. But like, is there a way to do it sooner? Yeah. And I feel like some people are figuring out ways to make it happen sooner. Like, you know, I think if COVID taught us one thing, it's that we can figure out how to work remotely in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. It's so
and,
true.
And
we love the RV life as well. Like even if it's like doing an RV trip, we're such yes. massive RVers. Like we're so all about the van life as well. And, you know, our kids have had a really interesting, I mean, it's all they know is travel. Like we do travel a lot and
yeah,
we'll go to different places. But a lot of the time it's like America, then Australia, then America, then Australia. It's not like culturally rich, diverse experiences. It's like we shoot here. And then, you know, we lived in Wales, which is also kind of, it's a similar background, similar culture, especially to Australia, you know, being part of the Commonwealth. But I definitely think, you know, my kids are so used to being out of school and kind of learning on the road. And as long as we keep up with the reading, they have just adapted to that. Like being in a regular school, like day in, day out, that's never been their experience. And even coming here to America for the last couple of months and the boys have been in regular school, like at first it was like a novelty to them. And then of course it's like, it went from like, we love school to, school. And I know everyone goes through it, but I had this interesting thing. I just told Sarah about it, that like Bodhi's, he's really proud to be American and he was born in America. He loves the culture. He really takes after his dad. Mark plays a lot of rap in the car, which I've had to censor a little bit because sometimes Bodhi will play the song that dad just played him in the car. And I was like, I'm not okay without like Kanye West carnival where it's talking about riding a girl like you're in a carnival. I was like, not sure this is age appropriate. Like, and so I had to have a word with Mark about that one. but anyway, I was like, what about Bon Iver, Ray LaMontagne? What about Nick Cave and, you know, Nick Drake, like the oldies? And so we've been sort of trying to massage more of that music into kind of Bodhi's orbit. But he's really proud. He likes the American culture. And I think like going to school, it is a little bit of a culture shock for him. You talked to me about it as well, Sarah, like some of the kids that our kids will be exposed to have their parents have different boundaries with them. And they're watching things that like my kids aren't allowed to watch, or they're playing certain games that my kids aren't allowed to play. Or, you know, a lot of them have a much later bedtime than my son. And I had been noticing that like he was sort of shape-shifting a little bit to kind of fit in with this, I would say, a little bit faster crowd. Like, and also he's in a year level that is like his grade, like grade four and grade five. So he's with older kids too. Mm-hmm. And I was like really bringing home the message of like, just being you. That's what makes you unique and cool. And yes, having your, you know, I think he was trying to hide his Australian accent. I was like, having your accent, being the way you are, all of that makes you unique and special and like an individual. And it was this like interesting learning that we went through since we've been here. And I was really proud of him actually, because I'd let him be on this thread with some friends from school as long as I was able to monitor it. And I went to look at the thread the other day with him and it had been deleted. And you know, when something's been deleted, I was like, huh, it's been deleted. He didn't tell me why he deleted it, but it's been deleted. And he sees me see that it's been deleted. I see something written in there by one of the kids in the older class that is absolutely, undeniably, like something we would never, it's so inappropriate. And it was just like language and what they were saying.
Yeah.
I audibly gasped and I saw it said, I could still see that it said, Bodhi emphasized this particular thing that was said. So he was shocked too, right? And then immediately underneath it said, Bodhi has left this conversation. And that made me so proud, because I was like, I'm so glad that in that moment when you read something that was so inappropriate and like did not represent who you are at all, you left and you were willing to be the kid that like left the conversation. And that's like a real statement that he was putting out there. But it made me also like think about like they're growing older and they're going to be exposed to certain things that we don't want them to be exposed to. And how do we protect them? But how do we let them have these experiences? And Mark was like, look, it's character building. He made the right choice. I was also offended, like not offended. I was just worried that the first port of call wasn't like, this thing happened and I feel uncomfortable. He handled it on his own. But it also shows me like they're growing up. We can't cocoon them. We can't. But how do we encourage making friendships with the like-minded people? And it's hard at his school because there's like no kids in the class. There's about like six children in over two classes. So he doesn't really have a choice there. Although I said to him, you do. And you have one of your friends, he's your best friend, and they really are so meshed and they love each other. They're like-minded. I love the parents. We feel on the same page. But it got me worried. And I think it's probably, and Mark pointed out, like maybe your quick desire to be like, oh, retreat, like get out of here. Let's go explore. Let's go travel. Let's like maybe some of that is stemmed in this wanting to protect, like wanting to take kids out of these situations.
100%. I mean, part of it is that they need to go through some of these situations, maybe not to that extreme, but in some ways they need to feel, you know, same thing with that. Like Esme was experiencing something with someone in her class and, you know, I was talking about it to another mom and the other mom was like, yeah, I think like it's going to happen. That kind of thing is going to happen at every school. And it's more so, how can she stand up for herself? How can she navigate that? Like, how can you empower her to, you know, find someone else to play with when that those things arise? Like, because we're all going to have these experiences, right? So I get it because I do the same thing where I'm like, I want to get out of here. Like, I want to go somewhere. You know, I think all of us have that instinct. It's like a primal, like it's a mother bear instinct where we want to like extract them and go do a life experience with them. And like, life is short and it's so beautiful, wonderful. And like, I don't want them to be traumatized and like, you know, all these awful things to happen to them. Things that we experienced ourselves is going to like take us back to these moments that we experienced where we felt shame and we felt fear and we felt like, you know, those moments when somebody said something or did something or like you want to fit in or, you know, you feel really left out or you're like not cool or like whatever it is, you know. Or maybe that's just me. I was the one that was not cool.
I was like the shapeshifter. I was the one that was like, I will be anyone I need to be cool. Like that was me.
But I just think that that's so normal. Like it's okay that you're having that feeling and that you're decided to like take a trip and go somewhere with your kids. But it's also okay for your kid who has such a loving foundation. He has such amazing mom and dad. And he left the conversation when something really awful happened. And instead of staying with it or trying to go along with it or feeling afraid to be like, you know, oh, if I leave, like, what are they going to say? Or they he didn't do that. He left the conversation and he, that was such a, that's such a vocal moment where he's like, I'm not going to be a part of that. And, and I think that comes, that's, you know, when all of us parents are so afraid of like these things happening, I think at the same time to play the devil's advocate, they need to learn this stuff and have these experiences to be able to, you know, be an adult later on in life and go,
I made the right choice. Or,
yeah, I made the right choice. It was hard and weird and awkward later, but I made that right choice. And my mom and dad were so proud of me for that choice. And I can do that again. And that's who I am because, you know, that was my moment. And he'll never forget that moment ever because it obviously shook him to read it, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. And I like, I'd love to hear from the Daisies actually their perspective on this stuff, but it is interesting. Like you can raise your kids in all the ways that you want to raise them and give them the boundaries and give them the emotional, you know, confidence to be who they are and all those things. And then peers do play such a huge part in their lives. And I'm experienced this with, and I don't, you know, I won't share the full story of this because it's very, very, very private in my life. But, you know, watching my stepbrothers have all the things that they need in their childhood and their upbringing, and the three of them falling into the company that they fell into and the ramifications of that, despite having this foundation and being given these opportunities and seeing what has happened to them in their lives, I think that's like a deep wound for me, is feeling afraid that like the peer group suddenly becomes the loudest voice they listen to. And I've seen it happen. Yeah. And I'd love to just pose that question to the community. Anyone who's got older kids as well, have you experienced that? And how do you help them return back? And we haven't, you and I haven't navigated this yet, this is potentially in our future, but it's probably coming for us at some point. How do you be that safe place for them to land and for them to choose to land here with us rather than get swayed by the peers? Because I got really swayed by my peers and I made some super poor, dangerous, very dangerous choices when I was a teenager. I'm lucky to be alive. And I'm curious about that. That's sort of the next season of parenting that we have to navigate. And I got this tiny little taste of it. And I suddenly went, I got to figure out my strategy with this moving forward because it's going to come for us.
Yeah, that's so true. I think mine was like, mine was at the like hand and guilt of like, you know, my God, like God and religion when I was a kid. So like, I was so afraid to make mistakes. And so like, I did, you know, make choices that were wild or, you know, got me in trouble or like whatever it is, but it was never super extreme because I was always like afraid that I was going to disappoint my dad or God or, you know, and I think that sometimes that's like a good thing and sometimes it's like not a good thing, but it definitely helped me because I'm such a like, you know, wanting to stay in a straight and narrow. It helped me in some regard to like stay out of a lot of craziness. But I don't know, like I can't wait to hear the advice from the daisies because you're right. This is coming upon us and you know, all of us parents have to go through this and navigate it. And I've seen it handled so beautifully with some people that I look up to as parents where I'm like, wow, like that's how do you become the home that like all the kids want to go to? And I just saw something that this guy posted. He's like a therapist on Instagram and he posted this thing about how he has a bowl at the front of his house when all of his teenage son's friends come over, everybody knows and they're just used to it now that they all just put their phone in the bowl when they come in and the phone stay by the door. And so he was like, a lot of kids don't even bring the phone over. And he was like, but what that does is it fosters us like making pizzas and putting them in the pizza oven and making a fire outside and listening to music and having conversation. And some kids are playing games and no one is on a phone because they're not allowed to be in our home. But yet our home is still a place where they all want to come. And I'm like, how do you do
Love that.
I want that.
I feel you know? Like Isaac, my stepson, would fucking kill me if I was like, hey, everyone, here's my little box for the phones. Like, because and they come over and they have fun and they jump in the pool and they go to the fire pit and they go down to the cinema room. Yeah. It's great. But they're all attached to their phone. All the 15, 16-year-old boys are like, you know, we are that house, but everyone still has their phone for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. We're living in such uncharted territory for us because we didn't grow up like that, you know? So it's like, it's tough. I mean, the parents that have gone through this, like at least 10 years before us, like it'll be so interesting to hear what they have to say because that's going to be like a huge challenge. But anyway, thank you for sharing all of that, Tez. And daisies, we love you and appreciate this community so much. And excited to see you all at our next Daisy Dream Circle and our live event. And we're really hoping to have a lot more live events later in the year. So stay tuned for all of that. And you guys can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.